Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Jesus is speaking. And one thing about this truth that he is sharing, I'm surprised many times as I look back over life and look back at some of the things that I've seen and I've experienced, how many times even the world, without even knowing, has shared some truths about the Lord and they didn't even know it. In other words, take for example this, and this is for the older saints. Not everybody will know this, but this was in 1974 when Dionne Warwick and the Spinners made this song. I never knew love like this before. Then came you. That would fit so perfectly for this text today. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This kind of love was unusual, uncommon. It was a love that had not been experienced before. Thus Jesus said in that 12th verse, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And my brothers and sisters, when we've experienced this magnanimous love that had never been experienced before, knowing Jesus, and then Jesus turns around and tells us, as you have received this love from me, I want you to turn around and give it back to someone else. Now, we were good with the first part. We were receiving it from him. But now, to give it to others the same way we received it, is monumental beyond many of our comprehension. Because there are some folk, let's be honest, I don't care how saved you are, there are just some folk it's hard to love. Not because you don't like them or don't want to love them, but they're just so unlovable. They're hateful, they're indifferent, they're ungood, unrighteous, they don't have anything good about them. And the Lord wants you to love them kind of folk. That's difficult. Anybody will agree with me and tell me, I agree with you, preacher, it's difficult to love everybody. But we're commanded to love everybody. Here specifically, though, Jesus is talking about the disciples, one another. Because here's where it starts. If you can't start loving one another in the church, how can you love folk out the church? We don't always agree in the church, but we shouldn't be disagreeable with one another in the church. In other words, we shouldn't always look to make sure folk know how we feel without us wanting to know how they feel. We ought to be able to mutually sit down, discuss, be real with one another, clear with one another, focused on one another than ourselves. Why? Because this is what Jesus demonstrated to us. Listen, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. When was the last time you saw somebody that just did not rub you right, and you reached out first to love them? No, not many of us, if we'll be honest and be real. Why is Jesus said he's getting ready to leave off the scene? He's leaving instructions for them to follow. Listen, not when he's with them, but when he has left them. You see, because if you are who you say you are, it ought not just be shown when you're in his presence. In other words, if you really are a Christian, it ought not just be demonstrated in church. It ought to be demonstrated outside, everywhere you go, in your home, out of your home, in your neighborhood, in your school, on your job, in the marketplace, on the highway, everywhere you are, if you are who you say you are. The Bible's already told us. Jesus himself, in the same chapter 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. But verse 18 came before verse 19 and said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So listen at this. He's showing us a better way. Let's get back to that 13th verse. Greater love hath no man than this. Can I tell you this, my brothers and sisters? That if you don't have the love of Jesus, everything else you claim to have is on false ground. You've got to know that love is first and foremost. Don't care how gifted you are, how talented you are, how spirit-filled you are. If you don't have the love of Jesus, all of that is in vain. This is my, verse 12, commandment. We are commanded to love. To love. It's not easy. If it were easy, we wouldn't have to be commanded to do it. So you got to realize when folk don't act right with you, it doesn't give you the license to act up with them. When you're called to love, to show them a more excellent way. And unfortunately, in the church, we don't always see the love. When we call ourselves brothers and sisters, we act like we are enemies one of another, rather than brothers and sisters of our Savior and children of the Most High God. Greater love. If he told us to love like he loved, can I give you three things that's in this verse that'll tell you how did he love? One, he loved compassionately. Compassionately.
Yes, Lord.
You've got to realize, my brothers and sisters, it's been said, and most of us use this at offering time and or giving others, that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. In other words, you got to learn that love should be the motivation for everything you do. When you speak in the morning to someone, you speak because of the love of Jesus on the inside of you. Not because it's a natural thing to you, because naturally you want to speak to folk who speak to you if you like them. Some people speak to you, you better open your mouth up if you don't know them. You know? But you've got to be the one to be the icebreaker. You've got to be the one to make the first. You jump in the elevator, they don't say nothing to you. You don't say nothing to them. Walking in the room, but I was already there. They didn't say good morning, so I would say good morning. What differential? What makes the difference between what difference is there between you and them if you act just like them? There is no difference then between you and them. How do they know the love of God? Listen to that. Compassion must be the driving force of your love, and love must be the driving force of your compassion. It was Jesus's. And so if he says, as I have loved you, how did he love us? Compassionately. His love. His love. One of the things I love about his love is this, that even though we were at our worst, he loved us with his best. With his, he didn't lower his love. He didn't weaken his love. He didn't make his love of none effect because we were not all that. But more, he gave us his pure, true, perfect love when we did not deserve it. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God's going to send somebody your way this week who does not fit the bill of you loving naturally. For you to show them the love of God the same way he showed for you when you didn't deserve it, and he's going to see if you pass the test. Remember, he's saying this to the disciples because he's getting ready to leave them. He wants them to act this way, not in his presence, but in his absence. in his absence. And that's where we show who we really are. So he loved us compassionately. But secondly, he loved us committedly. Committedly. Jesus was committed to loving us. You see, my brothers and sisters, you know why folk fall out with each other so fast? Why marriages no longer last, why families break up and friendships break up, because there's no commitment. Commitment. And real love comes with commitment. You heard Brother Mark praying in his prayer today, and he was talking about in the vow, about being there in sickness and in health. And also saying richer and poor, in good times and bad times. What is that saying? You need to be committed when it's good, and you need to be committed when it's bad. That every day is not going to be a beautiful, wonderful day. And the Bible calls us to live at peace with all men as much as in us is. Listen, the more love you have in you, the more you can stand folk that you can't stand. I'm ministering to my people this morning. I'm trying to help you. You got some folk who, if they would be honest with you today, if they could walk away right now, they'd be them. Now I ain't gonna pack up. I just gonna leave. I just wanna go. But they're committed. Committed. And how many times have you been through a storm that lasted longer than you thought it would have, but you stayed right there? And sooner or later, God calls the storm to pass on over. Now listen, God doesn't call for any of us to be abused and misused and beat upon and done wrong. No, he doesn't call for us to do that. But he does call for us to do our best. And then Paul even writes about, if you got somebody you saved and they're filled with God's Spirit and his love, and you got somebody that don't want to act right with you and they want to leave, don't hold them there. Let them go. Let them go. Let the doorknob hit them. I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. But let it be on them and not on you, unless they are at the point of abusing you. God didn't call you for that. And so you need to know, you got to understand, when you love them with all you have in you, that's like Jesus loved you. He committed himself to you. And let me just throw this out for free. How many of us know that there were things Jesus told us not to do and we willingly did them anyway? I'm talking about Christians now. I ain't talking about no fake jakes. I'm talking about real believers. How many of you knew right from wrong and decided in that moment, I'm going to take off my robe and I'm going to shake my hair loose and let my hair. Hey, I'm going to put it back on in a minute. I'm going to pin it back up in a minute. But right now, I'm going to let it go. Come on, be real with me here. But did he walk away from you? Did he cut you loose? Did he tell you, because you've done this and didn't do this, you are no longer mine? No, but guess what he said? I'm married to the backslider. I love you with an everlasting love. And my brothers and sisters, we have to grow to that point. There are things I know now I didn't know earlier in my life, because I wasn't there then where I am now. And because of the more of the love of Jesus I allow to come into me, it's the more love I'm able to release from me to others. Loving committedly, he committed himself to his friends. And then lastly, he loved completely.
All right.
Completely. Completely, so much so that he laid down his life. No man took it from him.
Come on, sir.
He volunteered to stand in your place and in my place, because he was committed to us to pay a price we could not pay for ourselves. But he could. He was righteous. He was pure. He was holy. And he chose to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. When you see a brother or a sister, or one God has assigned you to, missing the mark, falling short, not being able to fulfill that promise, that commitment, and you are able to step in, fill in the gap, make up the difference, that's your job, because Jesus did it for you.
Yes.
For you. It's not easy. Just the cheese said it ain't easy being cheesy. It's not easy loving the way the Lord wants you to love. And we don't need to sit here and try and fool one another, because it is not. So then he goes on and he says this, and I'm closing. Verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. This was strange when I read this at first. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Well, how did this work? Well, let me show you how it really was, and the way we read it doesn't always come across that way. Jesus wasn't saying, I thank you, my friends, if you do what I tell you to do. What Jesus was saying clearly was, I am your friend. I'm your friend.
Yes, yes.
We are friends because of my friendship with you. But if you are my friend, then you will show me your friendship by your commitment to me. Here's what Jesus is saying. In verse 13, he showed you that he loved you completely as a friend. He's committed to you. He says, now, if I am your friend, then you ought to at least obey what I've commanded you. I'm giving my life for you. Can you not commit your life to me?
Come on, sir.
Let me say that again.
Come on, sir.
I'm giving you my life, laying it down for you. Can you not at least committed and obey the commands I've given to you? And when did he want them to do it? After he hung on the cross, took a beating that was meant for them, accepted every penalty, every sin, every fault, every mistake, every bad and wrong thing they had ever done. He paid for it with his precious blood. And then he died when you should have died. He took your place on that cross. He died so that you could live. He said, the least you can do is live for me, since I died for you. I wish I had a helper in the house. Is it that difficult for someone who loved you enough, compassionately, committedly, and completely, to die for you so that you could live for them? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Am I asking you too much to live right when I died for your sins? I died for all your wrongness. Can't you live in my rightness? The reason I'm not here is because I died for you. Can't you live for me? And if you loved me, and if you are a friend to me, you'll remember me and all that I've done for you. That's why when we take the Lord's Supper and we eat that bread and drink that wine, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Yes. Simply stated, what I did for you, I did for you. Now what you do for me. Remember me. Do you know how difficult it would be to know that someone loved you so much they gave you their life?
Lord have mercy.
And then later to discover that no sooner than they were buried, you forgot about them. How difficult it is to explain ingratitude on that level. But my brothers and sisters, when we do not obey the commandments of our Lord, who died so we could live, we no longer live unto ourselves.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday.